So one of the big questions, there's a principle, as you probably know, in economics called elasticity of demand. And that is when the price of cauliflower gets to $8 a cauliflower, people stop eating cauliflower. However, when it comes to gasoline, it doesn't appear that there is a pressure point just yet. Now, I know back in the 1970s when gas got expensive, that was the beginning of Japanese cars and compacts and the whole idea that you didn't need this gigantic sedan from Detroit, that you would want a smaller car because you wanted to save on gas. But the problem is, you don't buy a car the way you buy cauliflower. You buy a car or you lease a car maybe every 4 years or even 8 years. So the elasticity is not necessarily quite the same. However, then you get to the question, do you change where you drive or how much you drive? Bruce Hillinga is a University of Waterloo engineering professor who actually specializes in transportation, who's been taking a look at the spike in gas prices and whether or not it is going to change our behavior. I'm very curious to hear what Bruce has to say. Good morning.
Good morning, John.
All right, so we've proven in the past that we're willing to stomach $1.50 a liter, but we're at like $2.10 a liter now. And do you, based on your measurements, think that people are ready to change their behavior, or are they just going to continue to swallow this?
Yeah, that's the big question. And I guess the answer is that we're not all as equally sensitive. So you're right when we say that in general across the country on aggregate, we're not that sensitive to gasoline prices. In other words, our demand doesn't really reduce that rapidly as the prices go up. But that's not the whole story. I mean, all of us as individuals, we kind of arrange our lives around a set of activities that we engage in. Whether that's work or going to school or, going to buy groceries, all of those kinds of things. And some of those things require us to engage in movement from point A to point B. We have to go into a physical building to work or whatever it happens to be. And we're also all subject to different constraints, whether they're economic or whether they're around our family structure. And so we don't all respond the same way to changes in gasoline prices. And we know that already with the increase in prices, people are beginning to adapt their behavior. So people who have, say, fewer constraints or maybe other options are choosing those other options. So instead of driving and they can walk or they can bike, they're doing that. We're entering the period of the year where certainly cycling is more attractive when the weather's better. But not everybody has those kinds of options. So people who are more constrained, they really have less flexibility. And so at least in the short term, they're in a position where they really are forced to pay the higher cost of the fuel or not travel. And so for discretionary trips, maybe they say that trip is just not that valuable to me anymore. But for other trips, it seems that we're pretty insensitive. If you've got a cottage, it seems unlikely that you're going to spend the long weekend at home just because fuel is going to cost you an extra $50 for the weekend. But not everybody's in that same position.
So is this necessarily, you can't be a mind reader, I appreciate, but something that the oil companies and gas retailers appreciate, which is that, we're just going to take it.
You're right. I can't be a mind reader, but certainly we have a long history, and the companies have a long history of understanding how demand varies with pricing. To be quite honest, if you own a vehicle and your lifestyle is oriented around having that vehicle as your primary mode of mobility, then even when fuel prices increase, at least in the short term, there's very few options that you have. Certainly, people may be looking now at saying, "Well, I'd like to replace the vehicle, or this would be a good time to replace the vehicle as the fuel prices are high." But of course, we have other things going on in the world, so it's not that easy to go and get a new vehicle. Used vehicle prices are much higher than they were a year ago. Trying to get a new vehicle now is difficult. Trying to get a new electric vehicle is even more difficult. And people may not have the charging capabilities at their house, or be concerned about the charging infrastructure. So there's a lot of different things going on that influence people's decision making. But I do think that lots of people are being creative. I just heard from my niece in Ottawa the other day. She needed some potting soil, and she went to the garden center on her bike with her two-year-old son and managed to put two large bags of potting soil on her bike with her son and come back home. Now, you know, not all of us are going to do that, but people are getting creative.
Thank you very much for this. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Bruce Olinga, University of Waterloo engineering professor. His specialization is transportation. It's funny, Bruce mentions doing errands on a bike because I saw, coincidentally, yesterday, I was just out walking the dog at the time where all of the kids get out of school. And there was a woman who had picked up her child who looked like he was about 8 years old. And I think they call it a Dutch bike. You've probably seen these. This is a bicycle that has a gigantic basket with a wheel on it in front of the bicycle. And actually, in Holland, sometimes you'll see like three kids sitting in it. In this case, it was just one kid and a bunch of groceries. And this woman had picked up her kid from school and was taking him home. And I'm not telling everybody that you necessarily must adapt to a life on a bicycle, but it is doable. I hear from people often that who say, like, you can't possibly ever have a life without a car. And I always remember my mom's best friend, Joyce Bedford, and her husband, Dave, never owned a car at any time in their lives. And they raised five kids, and somehow they managed to find a way to get the kids to Little League and hockey and eventually nursing school and all kinds of other activities. And Mr. Bedford actually used a wagon in order to bring the groceries home. And so that's not necessarily an option for everybody, but it's not undoable. And I think sometimes people are reflexively opposed to any alternative means of doing anything because they think that somebody's forcing them to change their lives and they're, you know, these horrible environmentalists are making me change and I don't want to change.